Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 and 26, it says, there should be no schism, or schism, as some pronounce it, in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So UPS comes to your door and they deliver a package, a large package, a heavy package. And you just wonder what in the world it is. But you notice there's a sign on it, and it says, handle with care. Handle with care. What does that mean? Well, you don't just slam that package down on the floor and roll it down the stairs and get it to a spot inside where you want to open it and take a knife and just jab it in and just rip it open, do you? If it says handle with care, you handle with care. You want to cautiously open it carefully to see what is inside. There are words that have application to our souls, that have application to our eternal life. And the words of 1 Corinthians 12 really are words that do that. That the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Our souls need to be handled with care. The souls of our brethren need to be handled with care. We are too precious in the sight of God to be handled carelessly for thoughtless words, careless actions. We need to be handled with care, and we need to handle one another with care. You don't want to deliver your soul to judgment on that great day at the end of time. You don't want to deliver your soul to judgment marred and scarred and blemished and sin-stained. You want your soul to be covered by the blood of Jesus. You want your soul to be cleansed and declared righteous by God's wonderful grace. If we have something we value, we're careful with it. I have a vase at my house, a picture actually. It's a picture. Not a picture on the wall, but a picture with a handle. And it's got an image that is just old as it can be. And it belonged to my great-grandmother, this pitcher, like a milk pitcher, water pitcher. And it's precious to me. And I don't let anybody touch it. I don't let anybody pick it up. My kids, I don't know if they've ever held it or not. I don't know. They may have snuck and did it. I'm looking at them to see. All right. But you know, there's some things that we have that we just handle with great care. Great care. There's some things that are just so precious. And if we recognize how precious something is, we're going to be careful with it. Mark 8, 36 and 37. What is more valuable than your soul? What is your soul worth to you? How valuable is it to you? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll guarantee you the rich man who lifted up his eyes being in torment would have traded everything he had and everything he could possibly gain in the future for the opportunity to get out of that terrible place. I'll guarantee you he would have. And in fact, his fear was that his brothers would come to that terrible place, and he didn't want to see that happen. The soul of man is worth so much that Jesus came to save it. In Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10, Jesus' words himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The soul is so precious that Jesus died to bring salvation to lost people. Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, and 1 Peter 2, 24 make that clear. But I want to make this clear to you. I know you know what I'm saying. Everything I've said so far you already know. But one thing I want to stress. Your soul is not part of you. Your soul is you. Your soul is you. That is who you are. And that part of you will remain for eternity, either in heaven or in hell. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. We were healed because of what Jesus did. He paid the price. We, our souls, our immortal selves, are going to exist forever somewhere in heaven or in hell. Now, when you see a label that reads on a package, when you see it read, "Handle with care," this indicates that this object is fragile, that it can be damaged or destroyed. And so we see this in the world with packages and all this. We need to recognize it's true for the soul. We all know that it's true for the soul. We can be lost in sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2, John 8, 21, Revelation 21, 27, all make that clear. Jesus said to them again, "I'm going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come," talking to those that did not believe in him. And so recognizing this to be true, we have to realize that the scriptures tell us that most people will be lost. Most people will not make it to heaven. That's the sad truth. Matthew 7, 13, 14, and chapter 25, 21 make that clear, that most people are going to lose their souls. And it's because they're not handling it with care. They're not being careful to obey God. They're not being careful to serve him, to be faithful to him. They're not being careful with their soul. And we need to be careful with it. You give a child a valuable something, a valuable toy or whatever, and you say, "No, you be careful with that." And of course, if it's just some cheap junk, they may break it in 4 or 5 minutes, but you surely don't want them to break something valuable at all. But certainly be careful with it. Well, we tell them to do that. When a child, a young man, or a young lady gets the keys to the car for the first time, it is every parent's big fear, right? It's every parent's big fear. And it's the fear of the rest of us because we're afraid our insurance rates are going to go up. Ha, 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 ha. But the big fear is that they're not going to be careful, that they're not going to use good judgment, that if a crisis comes up, they will panic, or they will react incorrectly, or they will misjudge the margin of error, and so a crash could happen. That is a big fear when parents let their young ones leave home for the first time driving a car, okay? Well, and you would tell them, "Now you be careful. And call me when you get there," right? Call me when you get there. How many of you got that call? And how many of you know that the kid forgot to call, right? That's happened to all of us, right? They forgot to call. Well, there are things that need to be handled with care. Brethren, our soul is the most precious thing we have. Our immortal soul, that eternal or immortal part of us that's going to live forever, for eternity, is the most precious thing that we have. And so we ought to be cautious in the way we live in this life so that we can guarantee our soul to have a home in heaven. In Matthew 26, 41, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." This is why we have to stay on guard. You and I may have the best of intentions, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. So we have to stay on guard. We have to stay on top of ourselves. Our passions, our desires, our reactions and responses. When somebody does something, when somebody says something or treats me in a certain way and it gets my hackles up. Y'all say the word hackles around here? See, I'm from Hackleburg, so I understand hackles, okay? It gets your hackles up and gets you all mad and, you know, them's fighting words and that sort of thing. Very easy to get upset. And God would say, "Whoa, buddy, slow down there. Slow down there. You look at what my son endured for you. Look at the price he paid to save you. Are you going to blow it? Are you going to throw away your soul over some perceived insult? Are you going to toss away your salvation over your pride?" No, we have to make sure we handle with care our soul and our response to sin around us. My soul is at stake, so I had better use some caution. And you know, the last point I want to make tonight, in spite of the value of our soul, so many people are indifferent toward it. It's easy for us to get caught up in material things. In fact, most people want material security more than they want God or spiritual life. Most people of this earth. That's why most people build their houses on the sand. That's why most people don't commit themselves to serving God. That's why more people are not in this building tonight. That's why this building is not full tonight. It wasn't full this morning. Because most people do not value their soul as much as they should. And they don't recognize the risk and the danger they're putting themselves in by not serving God, by not being pleasing to Him. So to you, the cream of the crop, the Sunday night crowd, I say to you, I know you value your soul or you wouldn't be here, but don't let up. Don't let up. Don't give in to thinking, well, it's okay because I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You got to maintain guard because Satan hasn't given up and he's going to continue to attack you. He's going to continue to do everything he can to get you to be at ease in Zion. Come on, come on, sit down, take it easy. You don't need to go visiting. You don't need to go out there and visit people. Well, you just sit at home. Just sit at home, take it easy. And you know, they probably don't even want you to come see them. Yeah, they don't want you. Just sit home. Here, change the channels. Take that remote. Change channels some more. Change channel. Oh, you got chores at home to do. You got things to do. You're a busy man. You're a busy lady. There are things that you've got to do. Oh, I've got ball games, and I've got school functions, and I've got things at work. I've got things I got to do. It's very easy. It's very easy to say, I don't have time to serve the Lord. I don't have time to go check on that brother or sister. I don't have time to go to the hospital or the nursing home. I don't have time for Brother's Keeper program. And I don't want to make you think that Brother's Keeper program is the end all or nothing like that. If you are not involved in Brother's Keeper, but you're keeping brethren, if you're loving brethren, if you're seeing brethren, that's fine. I don't care. But this is simply a way for us to try to reach out to people that we may not know as well. Okay? That we may not know as well and get to know each other better and love each other and help each other in our journey to heaven. But the brethren, the thing of it is, Satan doesn't let up. He doesn't let up. And he's going to look for a weak spot in your armor. He's going to look for some spot where he can draw your attention away from being spiritually minded. You don't need to study your Bible right now. Well, look, they're tearing out cabinets on TV. You don't need to study your Bible. And you know, you pray a lot. You pray every time you eat. You pray before you go to bed. You pray when you first get up. You pray a lot. You don't have to pray all the time. You don't have to pray right now. I know you're struggling with something. I know that you're not sure what to do. But you don't have to pray. Just work it out in your mind. You can solve this. Satan is like that. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you from praying, to keep you from studying, to keep you from loving, to keep you from resolving conflict. They'll get over it. I know they're hurt at me. I know they're mad at me, but they'll get over it. Really? Really? That's what Satan would do. He will do his best to convince you you've done enough. You don't have to do anymore. He'll try his best to do that. He's not going to let up. And that's why you can't let up. That's why you're here on Sunday night. God bless you. Proud of you for that. You'll be here Wednesday night. Yes, sir. The same folks will be here Wednesday night too. And the same folks will be here next Sunday. And there'll be a whole bunch more folks here next Sunday that are not here tonight and won't be here next Wednesday night. But that's their choice. But here you are, and God bless you for it. But don't let up. Don't let up. There have been many, many people that have sat in these benches that used to come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that don't go anywhere anymore. Why? Because they let up. They let up. And they let Satan trick them into a false idea that, hey, everything's fine. I don't have to do this. It's not necessary. I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Why, church is all man-made and church is just all about ritual. Brethren, it's so much more than that, isn't it? It's about family. It's about caring for each other. It's about helping each other get to heaven. And I know we're not really helping each other sitting here in these pews. That's not what it's about. But being together and being united in one purpose. And you know, the fact that people can look around this room and see that here you are, that says something. That means something. That's important. And so we don't give up. But so many people have given up. And they've become cold and they've become indifferent. And Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Luke 12:15. Your life is more than your stuff. And it better not ever be about your stuff. Because if it is, that's all you're going to have. That's all you're going to have. There are too many young Christians that have not understood Jesus' words, but then older ones too. And there's too many immature Christians that are not strong enough to make it without our help. And that's why we've got to be there for each other. So we go back to the text at the very beginning from 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I'll close tonight with two passages of Scripture. Romans 15, 1 and 2. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. We then that are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. And let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And do you know it doesn't specify who gets the edification? I will venture an observation. I believe both of you get the edification. When you edify, when you build up someone, it also builds you up. Don't you feel good when you've done something nice for somebody? Don't you feel good when you've served someone in some way? Doesn't it give you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside? Edification. Edification. So the end result is that you please your neighbor for his good, leading to edification on both of us. On both of us. And I like that. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I've seen... Are y'all familiar with parkour? Parkour? You ever heard of it, parkour? I'm not ever going to try it. And if you ever do, bless your heart. You know, the old movie adage, break a leg, is going to be literally true with you if you try it. Parkour is where these young folks jump from building to building. They'll jump from a handrail, from one handrail to another handrail, and they'll spring over it like cats and do a flip and land on a bench and then jump on top of a building and then off of that onto another one. And I mean, it's like Spider-Man with springs on his feet. Parkour. There's another word for that. Insanity. And parkour has led to some of the most humorous ow videos I have ever seen in my life, where guys will jump, and this one guy tries to jump over a bench, and he lands on the bench with his midriff just, and he's pinned there. He's just stuck. He's just right there, this bench. It's hilarious, and he's very, very foolish. Parkour. What a foolish, foolish thing. Brethren, falling short of your jump causes injuries, right? Falling short of the grace of God causes death. Causes death. Spiritual death. Spiritual damnation. You don't want to fall short of the grace of God. Do you know what your part in the grace of God is? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I didn't say perfection. I didn't say sinlessness. I said faithfulness. That's what the Lord said. We're to be faithful unto death. And if we will be faithful unto death, we will receive the crown of life. For a study on faithfulness, look at 1 John chapter 1. And you can look at verses 6 through 10. And then chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And you'll get some idea of what faithfulness is. Because faithfulness is not sinless perfection. Faithfulness is loyalty to God. Commitment to God. And even when I fail, I get up and keep trying. I don't quit. I don't quit. So this is how you don't fall short of the grace of God, is you be faithful to God. So he says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up cause trouble, or springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. What that means is, it's not that Esau didn't repent, but repentance didn't do him any good. That's the point of that verse. You can reach a point where even if you repent, it's too late. It's too late. And so that's what that verse, I've struggled with that verse for years, but that's what that means. It wasn't that he didn't repent. It wasn't that he couldn't repent. It was repentance was ineffective. Repentance wouldn't work. He had gone too far. He had already sold his birthright, and no amount of repentance would get it back. That's the point of the Esau story. So he tried to inherit the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He wanted to put things back, but the damage was done. The damage was done. I told this story years ago about an old woman who had appealed to the governor, and her son had been involved in a crime that led to the death of an individual. And the young man was sentenced to death. He was sentenced to death. And his mother was an old widow, young man in his 30s. And his mother just, she wrote the governor letter after letter after letter, appealing to the governor to pardon her son, or at least stay the execution, to give her more time with him. And letter after letter after letter, the governor denied it, and denied it, and denied it. And so the day came for the execution. And the young man was led in to the electric chair. And his mother was there. And he was strapped down. And they shaved his head, of course, and put that dome on his head. And they shaved his ankles, and they put those leggings on his ankles and strapped his wrists to that metal chair. And the mother was just praying that somehow there'd be a message from the governor. One last minute moment. She's praying, "Oh God, please. Please give me more time. Give me more time." But the son had committed the crime. He had been found guilty. And the switch was flipped. And the young man died. And the mother, in tears, was heard to say as she left the room, "Things broken, too broken to mend. Things broken, too broken to mend." There comes a day when it's too late to repent. There comes a day when it's too late to make the change. There comes a day when it's too late to try. And we don't want that to happen to us. Don't want it to happen to you. Don't want it to happen to me. Don't want it to happen to anyone that I care about. And so my encouragement to you is that you take care of your soul, that you handle it with care, that you maintain your relationship with God on a daily basis, that you commit yourself to being the most faithful child of God you can possibly be, so that you do not fall short of the grace of God. And hear that phrase, "Things broken, too broken to mend." And so I encourage you tonight, if you're not right with the Lord, that you make your life right. Come if you need to as we stand and sing.